Psalm 62. This is a great psalm. I really liked, like we did 61 here last week, and 62 is on sort of on the same vein. We're moving from a really dark period in the psalm from 50 on to some really contemplative statements in these psalms about God and our relationship to Him. Still, he's dealing with some struggle here, but at the same time, David is giving an emphasis on something, a truth that we can carry with us. And, you know, if I was going to title this psalm, I would say, Only God, or God alone. God alone. And we're going to see that as you go through this psalm. And so he says, truly, or certainly, or most definitely, my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. Oh, how important it is that we wait on God, that we are still to know that he is God. Because it says in verse 2, he only is my rock. He doesn't say he is one of my rocks, but he's my only one. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. So what David says here is, I'm only trusting God. It doesn't matter how sure any other foundation seems. It doesn't matter who promises you what. There is only one who is absolutely faithful, but there's more than that he is faithful. What else might there be about God that would be able to give you such certainty?
Well, Jesus rose from the dead after they killed him on the cross.
Okay.
And his word through the centuries and all the thousands of years has remained true. It's always been fulfilled.
Okay. So there, one of the reasons he never goes back on his word. So he's faithful. That's a good reason. What other reasons are there where I can say, I wait for God alone. He is alone my rock.
So I'll be with you always.
Okay. His promises. Every one of them true. Yeah. What about his character? Who is he?
Creator of heaven and earth. Still, I know that I am God.
Okay. Of course. That's what he's actually saying here. What did you say? He's the creator? He's all powerful. Right? I could promise you and say, for definitely sure, you need a ride to Sydney day after tomorrow. I promise you, I'll be there. Is it a definite surety that I will be there?
No, you'll be a dying before that.
That's right. I might be giving you the best word I have, but I am not all powerful. I can't deliver on every promise I make, but God always can, because he is God. And so he says, my soul silently waits for God. Now, why does he say silently waits for God?
Because
that's right. He's being still. And one of the hardest things to be still with, at least for me, is my tongue. I don't know about you guys. My tongue hardly ever stops wagging, right? I need to, sometimes we don't need to be talking to God so much as being still and knowing that he is God. Coming before him, waiting on God, because he's the source of my salvation. Yes, Geraldine.
Here, my Bible says, my soul finds rest in God alone.
Yeah, in the Lord, only in the Lord. Praise the Lord that there is such a place. When you see the despair in this world, when you see the brokenness, and when you see the hopelessness in so many lives, it is a wonderful thing that there is hope. That in the darkest hole that you go into, you can offer someone hope. You can point them to a place where there really is a salvation offered, where there really is a rock, a place of refuge. He says he's my rock. He's my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Might get shifted around a little. Big wind. But I will not be greatly moved. Because the Lord is my steady. He's the one that carries me. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. A guy named John Dunn's comment on this says this. He is my rock and my salvation, my defense, my refuge, my glory. A little later he says these words. If my refuge, then what enemy can pursue me? If he's my defense, what temptation shall wound me? If he's my rock, what storm shall shake me? If he's my salvation, what melancholy shall deject me? And if he's my glory, what calumny, which means slander, I had to look that one up. What slander shall defame me? You know, we talked last week about the fact that as a group, we're going to be under attack if we're going to walk with the Lord. And we're experiencing some attack, right? But what slander shall defame us if we walk with God? If the Lord is our defense, if he is our rock, what storm will shake us? Praise God that we have the Lord on our side. And we can have that blessed assurance and we will not be greatly moved. Now, as in the earlier Psalms, David is under attack of some kind. And as he expresses it, he makes this statement. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. He says, you're attacking, but do you realize how precarious your position is? Those who attack the Lord and the Lord's work put themselves in grave danger. They put themselves in a precarious place. And though they look strong, though they look like they're making it or getting ahead or whatever the circumstance is, it says you're like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. I made lots of fence in my day with cattle. And, you know, sometimes you're in a hurry and the fence is getting bad. Posts are rotted off, but you haven't got time to fix it. So you put another post, piece of wood against it, hold it up, get it propped up. It's only for electric fence wire anyway. You stick that up and you keep running because you got another appointment to go to somewhere else. And I get back to the house and I look back and the cows are merrily marching over the spot that I hastily fixed instead of actually replacing things because it was only a tottering fence. There was nothing holding it up. And he pictures the lost and those who are opposed to the work of God, that they are a tottering fence, that they will fall. Those who oppose the Lord, their days are numbered and their circumstances are numbered. We will stand and we will stand with the Lord. God looks at the big picture. We often look at the small one. And the challenge that is given here about them is they only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. They're wicked in their conduct. They delight in lies. They say stuff that's not true. And on one hand, they say that they love God and they're serving God. But on the other hand, they are cursing men, cursing others, attacking others. And the pictures that are given here show that David was experiencing attack again. But what does he do with it? He pauses again here in 62:5 and says what? Waits for God alone. God alone. So my expectation is from him. I love that little phrase. I've often come back to that phrase as I've been going through life and thinking about things. Where's your expectation? Where's your hope? What is it that, you know, causes you to rise up in the day? But isn't it something to have an expectation from God? From God. From the creator of the universe. I'm expecting to meet with God. I'm expecting God to bless. I'm expecting God to pour out what's needed. It's wonderful to have that expectation from Him. When you go into circumstances, this weekend to go and visit a home where tragedy had struck so deeply, part of me, what do I say in the midst of such hardship? I don't have what it takes, but I know that God's called me to go. So my expectation is not in myself. My expectation is from Him. And I expect Him to meet me there, and I expect Him to minister in the hard places. In the darkest places, God is real, and He can minister. My expectation is from Him. Isn't it a good place to have it? Don't we need to have an expectation in God? How easily do you get despaired over a particular situation? How long ago is it now since suddenly you were totally overwhelmed with a problem and a situation where you just don't know what to do? In the Old Testament, there's a story of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was a good king. But the enemy had come, and they came in overwhelming numbers, far beyond what they could do. What did they do about it? The Bible says they came before the Lord, the old and the young. Everyone, all of them came and stood before the Lord. And as they did, their expectation was from God alone. They could not defeat the horde that was coming against them. And they waited on the Lord. And they looked to Him alone. So God told them, you're not going to fight this battle. You send the singers out. Put them in the front. And that's what they did. The singers went ahead. And God destroyed those armies. They never had to fight at all. Their expectation was from the Lord. Can I challenge you and encourage you that your expectation is from God? Don't put your hope in men. Don't put your hope in circumstances. Don't put your hope in finances. Put your hope in the Lord. My expectation is from Him. We'll see that as we go through the psalm here. He tells us how futile it is to look anywhere else and to trust anywhere else. Trust in God alone. Almost repetitive, isn't it? He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Well, why would He repeat Himself? Why would anybody repeat themselves?
Make sure you get the message.
Yeah, that's right. Make sure you get the message. Yeah. It's not a bad idea to repeat truth, to speak truth, because truth, there's power in the Word of God. And as you speak the truth, not only read it, but speak it and believe it and repeat it, because we see that happen. You find that in the Psalms often, don't you? Where a phrase is repeated over and over, because I need to hear it over and over. Now, maybe you're different. Maybe you get it, you hear it once, you get it once, and you never have to hear it again, because you're just keep on trusting God all the time. Well, that's good, but that's not me. I need to hear the truth over and over.
Push back and rein.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But praise the Lord that He is our rock and our salvation. See, He says it again. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. So we can see that half of this psalm is saying the same thing over and over again. And maybe in a little bit of a different way. But emphasizing He's everything for me.
Well, it is like poetry, isn't it?
Pardon?
It's like poetry, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, when you sing a song, you sing the verse over and over again. But how often have you found yourself in a situation and a song comes to you? I don't know about you, but often I find myself singing a truth, a biblical truth in a song, and how blessed, what a blessing it brings to my soul. And it just kind of touches me. And I think today, after visiting and thinking about, you know, how much despair there is and brokenness, and the little hymn, "No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus," that one started coming through my mind. And so I was singing and humming that throughout the afternoon. In God is my salvation. He's my glory. That is, He is all of my praise, all of my worship. Everything that I am is found in God alone. It'll shut off eventually. What's that? Anyway, so what does he say in 62:8? Now, at this point, he is speaking about himself, right? He's my rock, my salvation, my glory, my strength, my refuge is all in God. It's mine. But then what does he say in 62:8?
Trust in him for the people, all time, your people.
So now he's saying, this isn't just for me. This is for you too, right? Spread the good news around. Repeat it not only to yourself, but tell it to others too. Trust only in the Lord. Keep trusting in God. Look to Him. He is the center of all of our experience. And that's where why He says this here. In every situation, the rock, your salvation, your defense, your glory, your strength, and your refuge. It's all in God. So trust in Him at all times, you people. And what does He say next? Pour out your heart before Him. Spread your heart before Him. If there's an issue in your life, pray. Pour it out before the Lord. Don't carry that load. Don't carry that weight. Pour it out before the Lord. Spread it before Him. Give Him your heart. Let Him know the circumstances that you're going through, because God is a refuge. And notice what He says here. God is a refuge for us. He starts with me, then He starts with you, and then He says us. We're all in this thing together. It is a wonderful privilege and a wonderful truth for us to be able to trust in the Lord. And how often should we trust in Him? I guess it's obvious, isn't it? How often?
At all times.
At all times. You know, the Bible says some pretty startling words in Philippians chapter 4, where it says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about a thing. Used to be a song. Don't worry, be happy. Remember? Yeah. Did it work? Did it set the world in a place where they no longer worried and everybody was happy?
No.
No. I think probably every one of you hummed that little tune at one point when it was on the radio 24/7, right? But it didn't cause the world to become less anxious. Prayer will. Surrender and prayer.
Don't worry, be happy.
Pour out your heart before Him. He is a refuge for us. So then He gives an example of what not to trust in. He says, surely men of low degree are a vapor, and men of high degree are a lie. So He covers the whole gamut. He says, you know, the ones that are the poor or of low degree, you know, they don't have a reputation, or they don't have riches, they don't have standing. They're just a vapor. That's all they are. And men of high degree, they're just a lie. There's no such thing. Not in the eyes of God. We're all in the same boat, aren't we? And He says, they're altogether lighter than vapor. They're just like the mist that's in the morning, rises up and poof, it's gone. That's what there is. So why is He saying this? He's saying this. Why is He speaking of this being nothing but vapor? If they're weighed on the scales, they're altogether lighter than vapor. Why is he making this statement here?
Well, it's because there's a lot of people that believe that they are higher than somebody else.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Why is he saying it, though? One, because there's no difference between either one. Low degree, they're just a vapor. High degree, they're another vapor. It's just a lie. That's all it is. But why is he dismissing people in this way, in this passage? What's the context of this statement?
Well, the idea that comes to my mind is that when Satan promised Eve something in the garden,
yeah,
she anticipated getting something in return for whatever she was going to do.
Yeah.
There was a lie. In the end, she died.
Yeah. That's very true.
I'm trying to get this picture from that.
Okay.
I mean, where does the world promise? Riches.
Yeah.
Material stuff. The world. You know, you could have the world.
Yeah.
But in the end, what happens?
It doesn't matter what we are right at this moment, because we're all going to end up dying.
Okay.
And having our stand in front of God one day.
Okay. What Joe was referring to is what comes in 62:10, right? Don't trust in hope and robbery or riches or whatever. But this passage, and what you're saying is absolutely true. We're all going to die. We're only here just for poof here. We're here today, gone tomorrow. But why does he say it in this psalm when he's saying, my soul hope only in God?
There's nothing else. There is no other hope.
Okay, so
the only hope we have.
So he's saying in Psalm 62:9, don't put your hope in men. Don't put your hope in others. Don't set your hopes on people. Set your hope on God alone. Do you know that any righteousness that you have, any goodness that comes from your life, it didn't come from you. It come from God. See the Lord in others, but don't put your hope in people. Don't put your hope, trust in me. I'll fail you. I'm a vapor too. I really am. We need the Lord. We all need the Lord. My soul hope only in God. Now that doesn't mean, of course, that we go around being suspicious of everybody. But what it does mean is that none of us are the anchor and the rock. The Lord is. He's the rock. He's the anchor. He's the one that is steadfast and sure.
That's why this one, 9, ties into the 8, isn't it, where it says, trust in him at all times.
Yes. That's right. Trust in the Lord at all times. So, don't put your hope in the politicians. They're not going to fix the world. The United Nations is not going to fix the world. United States is not going to fix the world. Obama's not going to fix the world. And the Republican Party isn't going to fix it either. Put your hope in the Lord. We still live in the world. We still do things in the world. I'm not saying not to vote. I'm not saying not to be involved. But understand this. Put your trust in the Lord. Not in men. Don't trust in oppression, he says. Don't trust that I'm going to get on the side of the ones that are beating everybody else. I'm going to get on the winning side. I'm going to switch over. Don't trust in oppression. Don't vainly hope in robbery. Don't think that if I could only get more money, I'm going to be okay. Whether I get it by ill gain here, he speaks of oppression and robbery. But then he says, if riches increase, so this may not be from robbery. This means if riches increase, don't set your heart on them. I am amazed how many times. It's funny. I hear people say this. You know, if I won the lottery, I'd help a lot of people. If I had the money, I'd give to this and I'd give to that. And oh, what a pile of malarkey that is. My goodness. Here's the answer to that. If you want to help people, do it now. If you don't give where you are now, you won't be given later. Don't set your heart on riches. If they increase, don't set your heart on them. Don't depend on those. Don't let that, don't think that that's a good cushion to have. Set your hope in the Lord. Oh, what a place to set our hearts. What a place to set our hope. Whether it's by wicked gain or whether it's by legitimate gain, don't let your heart get stolen there. But let it rest. Let it hope. Let it reside in God alone. God has spoken once, twice I've heard this, that power belongs to God. Now, I've often wondered about why it's said this way. He says, God has spoken once. But then he says, twice I've heard this. Power belongs to God. Now, maybe it's because God spoke it and God's people spoke it. But he's saying, it's almost like there's an emphasis here. Power belongs to God. Get that message. Power belongs to God. He's not powerless. He is all powerful. He is omnipotent. That's what that word means. All powerful. Power belongs to God.
Wasn't it Jesus that said to Pilate, you have no power over me except it was given to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everything happens with the permission of God. There isn't any point where God is freaked out and says, I'm at a loss. I don't know what to do about this one. Power belongs to God. To know that makes a huge difference. Because power belongs to God. Now that means the power doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. So my hope of living in power is the power of God. Remember what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When God comes upon you, that's where you'll have power. That's where power is. And real power, the power to live a godly life in an ungodly world, that takes a lot of power. Takes more power than you have. The power to love and not to hate. The power to give and not to take. These are powerful things. Far more powerful than anything that the world speaks about. Not the power to raise a cudgel up and whack somebody on the side of the head or take a sword and cut their head off. That's the display of power that the world is offers. But the power to love, the power to forgive, oh my goodness, that's power. That's incredible power. And that power belongs to God. That's why Paul would say in Galatians 2:20, it's not me living, it's Christ living in me. It is the power of God living. It is He, not I, but Christ. Oh, it's wonderful to have that hope in the Lord. It is a wonderful thing to have that hope in God. And I'm so glad that that power is available, that He is available, and that I can trust in Him for power. Power to live, power to minister, power to preach the truth. A confidence that God will speak as we open up His Word. Power belongs to God. Power belongs to God, and who do you belong to? Hey, that's cool, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Power belongs to God, and I belong to God. But you know, we don't go looking for power. We go looking for God. And when we do, power of God's there. Power of God is, shall we say, the byproduct of the presence of God, because God is all-powerful. Power belongs to God. Also to you, O Lord, belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. And this last verse gives a little picture here. You render to each one according to his work, but God is still full of mercy. If he wasn't, I'm afraid our rendering according to our work would put us in a desperate place. We need the mercy of God. Oh, only God. Only the Lord can deliver. Only the Lord can keep. Only the Lord can preserve, and only the Lord can cause us to go forward. Only the Lord can build his church. Didn't we talk about that? Where was I? Upon this rock I will build my church. Yeah, the other week we talked about that, didn't we, here? He will build his church. May we come surrender to him. Let's encourage one another to look to the Lord, lean on the Lord, love the Lord, depend on the Lord. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. It is so true. In all circumstances, every day, every hour, lean on the Lord. Trust the Lord. And discover he is more than enough. Don't get distracted. Don't get caught up in that which is far away from his power and his presence. Any comments?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, tonight as we come and pray, and praise you and glory in you, Lord, and acknowledge, Lord, you're our defense, you're our shield, you're our rock. We think of poor Kenny out on the street. He's a tottering fence. A tottering fence, Lord. Oh, God. He puts himself in a precarious position. Oh, Lord, have mercy on him. Lord, have mercy on him. What a lost, broken, ruined soul. Jesus, have mercy on him. Father, we pray. Praise you, Lord. Praise you that you're our rock and our shelter and our refuge and our tower and our strength and our glory. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, keep us so fixed on you, Lord. Above all things, above every circumstance, above finances, Lord, above the troubles and the cares of this life, we pray, Lord, as a group, we will continually pour our hearts out before you. We'll take our burdens to you, Lord. We'll surrender to you. Jesus, build your church. Power belongs to you. Thank you, Lord, tonight. Be with us as we continue to pray, O Lord, and O God, that we can, Lord, bring any situation to you and know your power and your might. Tonight, Lord, I want to lift up Amanda to you, Lord. Time has gone by, and Lord, things are a little quieter maybe right now, but that doesn't mean she doesn't need ongoing, fervent prayer. Jesus, rescue, rescue completely, totally bring her into an incredible relationship with you and do whatever you need to do to bring her there. Pursue her tonight. We pray in Jesus' name.
Dear Father,